man's problem, you know? It's called salvation. That's the name of the plan. It's called the plan of salvation. Paul calls it the doctrine or the gospel of salvation. It embraces all of time, as well as eternity, past and present, and future. It includes or it relates to all of mankind, everything about us without exception. That's what it includes. Salvation is a total work of God by which he seeks to rescue man from the ruin and the power of sin. This is the plan that he's using to rescue us from the ruin and the power of sin. We want to give you a definitive definition of salvation. The word salvation communicates the thought of deliverance, safety, perseverance, soundness, restoration, and healing. And in theology, it's a major doctrine of the Bible, which includes redemption, reconciliation, propitiation, conviction. Listen to all these things. Conviction, repentance, faith, regeneration, forgiveness, justification, sanctification, perseverance, and glorification.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare broadcast with Evangelist Wanda Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wanda Bell, or you can write us at Evangelist Wanda Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Psalm number 150. Psalm number 115. Psalm 115. And we want to begin at verse 1. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Begin reading now. Wait. Psalm 115. 115. The devil is a liar. Yeah, we gonna get it together. He's been messing with us because he know God's got some blessings in store for the people of God. Psalm 115, verse 1. I'll take it over after that. You keep your Bibles open because I want us to walk through this together as a ministry and as a people of God. But Psalm 115, verse 1 says,
"Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth
Amen. God bless you. That's all you need to read. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. For just a little while, I want to speak from the message, a word of praise for our God and a word of wisdom for us, God's people. A word of praise for our God and a word of wisdom for us, God's people. Psalm 115 is a group of psalms from verse 113, number 113 to 118, six psalms that are known as the Egyptian Hallel Psalms. The word Hallel is a Hebrew word which means Yahweh praise. And I think you need to know that these six psalms from 113 through 118 were psalms sung at every major festival in the Jewish history, beginning with the Passover, with the Pentecost, Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And it was also sung at the Lord's Supper. The first three psalms, Psalm 113, 114, and 115, were sung before they ate the Passover supper. Psalm 116, 117, and 118 were sung after they ate the Passover supper. It was also sung in major times in the lives of the Jewish people. It is suggested that these are the psalms that Jesus himself sung when they came to get him in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Judas betrayed him, the innocent blood to blood guilty folk who called themselves believers. It was suggested that Jesus sung these hymns when he was being crucified. Now, one of the things that I think is so interesting about this is they go all the way back to the time of Egypt when they were in slavery for 430 years. And God delivered his people. And so as the psalmist at Psalm number 115 begins to give praise in this prayer, verse 1 says, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us." And I think what's so important about him starting off like this is he wants to set the record straight. This really isn't about us as much as it is about you. "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to thy name give praise, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake." Now, he's exclaiming and making clear here that the reason we're doing it is because had the Lord not been merciful and had the Lord not used his own truth to establish truth in the earth realm and truth for the believers, there would be no worship of God, because there would be no us to worship God. How many of us know he, through his mercy, has looked beyond our faults and met every one of our needs? How many of us know that we didn't deserve the goodness of the Lord, but in spite of us, God has been good to us? We've not been perfect, but God's been good to us. We've not always obeyed him, but God's been good to us. We've not always done what he said, but God's been good to us. And it's because of his loving mercy that he has done those things for us, and because of his truth's sake. In other words, God has given to us his word. And because God could swear by nothing greater than his word, God has put limitations on himself because of his word. You remember he said in Malachi 3, because God changes not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. If you read the book of Deuteronomy especially, that's called the second book of the law, which is where Moses, 38 years at the end of the time of the wilderness experience with the Jews, Moses comes back and he reiterates the law that he gave to the original folk. But then he comes back and reminds them of all of the wonderful things God has done for them so that they didn't forget. But that was another reason they call it the second law, was because the people who did not honor God originally were killed either in the wilderness or at Mount Sinai for not trusting God. And so it was the children of those who died that he's speaking to and getting them to remember the goodness of God. Listen, people of God, we cannot forget what the Lord has done for us. We cannot forget where the Lord has brought us from. We cannot forget how God himself has shown us mercy above measure. And we need to remember always his goodness to us. Verse 2 says, wherefore should the heathen say, where is now thy God? Well, what this means was, you've got to realize from Egypt all the way into Canaan, there were pagan gods served by pagan people, heathens who worshiped idol gods, and their gods were visible, they were viewable, they were physical. But when they called on Israel to show their God, they didn't see Israel's God because he was not made of such stuff as the idol gods were made of. And so Israel's God was invisible. Israel's God was supernatural. Israel God had all power, and he was able to do what none other could do. Look at their answer to the heathens in verse 3. What does it say? You looking for our God, you ain't gonna find him. Because our God is in the heavens. And then look at what they go on to say. He hath done whatsoever he pleased. He hath pleased. Whatever he made up his mind to do, he didn't have to check with a council. He didn't have to get permission. Because our God is sovereign. Sovereign. Old preacher used to say, he speak and men live. He speak and men lay down and die. Whatever he says, because his word cannot come back void, that's the reason he's not man, and neither can he lie, because whatever he says comes to pass. And if God said it, it's going to happen whether you see it or believe it or not. But then this is not the great comparisons in this word, because beginning at verse 4, they begin to ascribe human traits to their false gods. Their idol gods are made of silver and gold. Now they do what's called a thing called anthropomorphism. And anthropomorphism is when you ascribe human-like features to either deity or non-human things. So note it begin to note seven things about their false gods. They have one mouths and can't speak. They have eyes and they can't see. They have ears and they can't hear. They have a nose and they can't smell. They have hands and they can't handle. They got feet, but they can't walk. And they got a throat, and they can't. They can't even utter a word. Seven things. Listen, seven is God's perfect number. God is supreme over all little gods. As a matter of fact, he made us to resemble his perfect number just in our head alone. When they had to take seven body parts to get seven, here God made seven in our head. Two eyes, two nostrils, two ears, one mouth. How many is that? That's seven. Seven was, again, God's perfect number. 7 days of the week he labored, 6 days, but on the seventh day he rested. Seven, God's perfect number. In the temple, in the tabernacle, he had a candlestick with seven candles on it, called menorah, and everything that related to God, seven, 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 always spoke of God's hidden but yet powerful reality. Here again, when the three Hebrew boys said they wouldn't serve the idol God that the king had made, he got mad and heated up the furnace how much? Seven times hotter than it ought to have been. And it burned up the men that threw them in, but not a hair on their head was singed. As a matter of fact, seven was his number, so God's son showed up at the party. Cool the heat in the flames and had fellowship with them. Can I tell you, when you remember God, God will remember you. Look at what verse 9 says. Look at it. Read verse 9. Listen, O Israel, he's calling them out. Trust in the Lord. He is thy help and thy shield. But he doesn't stop at Israel. Go to the next verse. The house of Aaron. Aaron represented the priesthood, the formal priesthood who served in the temple of God, the altar of God. He was the one, and his sons were the one who originally worshiped in the tabernacle of God before the presence of God. So he calls him and his family out and the priest out. Then he goes on and has another group, and here's where we come in at. Read it. Hey, ye that what? Is it anybody who fear the Lord in the house today? We're a part of that third group. Those were the people who were Gentiles, who were non-Jewish people, but they feared God from other nations, and they converted from other religions, and they found themselves worshiping and depending upon God. But I know I need you to understand what he gave to Israel and what he gave to Aaron, he also gave to us. What did he finish saying to them? Trust in the Lord. What? He is the same thing to us as he is to Israel and to the house of Aaron. Now, what does the next verse say? Now, I need to just stop right there, right quick. I need you to know this right now. We're going through difficult times, some of us. Our nation is going through difficult times. There are situations that are going on, and sometimes it can look as if God has forgotten about us. But I need the people of God to realize that you are on God's mind. God mindful of us. It might feel like you're by yourself, but he has promised he'd never leave us, nor will he ever forsake us. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're dealing with, God may sit high, but he's looking down low. And he sees you. He sees what you need. He sees what you're going through. He understands your circumstances. You ought to be encouraged in knowing God is mindful of us, his people. We're included in that number of the blessed. What does the next verse say? He will do what? Wait a minute. He ain't blessing everybody. He's blessing those who fear the Lord, both small. He starts off with those who are forgotten, those who may appear to be overlooked and misused and abused, those who don't have and those who are without, from the small all the way to the great, to help us understand that no one escapes the view of God when they trust God. And so we need to know, my brothers and sisters, it keeps getting better. Look at the next verse. Lord, look. The Lord shall increase who? Turn to your neighbor and say, the Lord shall increase me. Because I'm a believer. Because I trust him. Because I fear him. Now let me ask you a question. What about you? The Lord shall increase me. Is he going to increase anybody else in the house? But listen at how he's going to increase you. More and more. That's why David said, Psalm 37:25, I have been young,
yes, sir,
and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God's going to take care of you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and when he gets through taking care of you, he going to take care of your children. I wish I had a helper here. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Well, why does he throw that in here? Because the children who were delivered from Egypt asked Moses, did you bring us out here to let us die in the wilderness, to let our children die in this wilderness? And listen, my brothers and sisters, because they did not trust God, because they were disobedient to God, they did not make it out of the wilderness, but the children did. And those who were obedient and trust in God made it out. I'm just trying to help you see that this is a book in a view of can never be ungrateful to God if you always remember where he's brought you from. That's why the old saints used to sing, down through the years, God's been good to me. How many of you know that? Down through the years, God's been good to me. God's been good to us. God's been good to greater King David. And we can never forget that. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. But then he goes on in verse 15 and say, listen, that's what he's going to do. Can I tell you what he's already done? He's already blessed you. I said he's already blessed you. Whether you feel like it or not, he's already blessed you. Ye are blessed of who? Ye are blessed of the Lord. I don't care what it looks like, what it feels like, what you're going through now. You are already blessed. And see, if you know you're already blessed, then that means he's worthy of the praise now. Now. I know the best is yet to come, but isn't it good to know while I'm waiting on the best that I'm already blessed? Isn't it good to know that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible says this. Next verse. The heaven. Even the heavens. What is it talking about? Hold up. It says the heaven, and they say, wait a minute. Even the heavens. It's talked about the three heavens. It's talked about the heaven where the sky part is, the heaven where the stars and the moons above, that which is called the second heaven. But then it's going on to the third heaven where God abodes, where he abides, where he lives, where he is. All those three levels of heaven are the Lord's. Of the Lord's, they belong to him. But the earth, he has given to the children of men. That means to us. That means God has blessed us here on earth, and there are things that he's going to do for us down here on earth. Don't think that all of the blessings God's got for you are waiting for you in heaven. He's got blessings down here and up there. And when we begin to recognize that we don't have to wait for the blessings, why? Because we are already blessed. And see, the only reason why you wouldn't know you're already blessed is because you hadn't taken out the time to count your blessings. One by one, and see what God has done. done. When you start counting your blessings and talking about one, he woke me up this morning. Two, he kept me in my right mind. Three, he gave me the activity of my limbs. Four, he again blessed me to be able to open up my eyes and see the brand new day.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope.